Welcome to the ACC podcast. We hope these messages are a source of growth for you in your spiritual walk with Jesus, or maybe you're just checking us out for the first time. Whoever you are or wherever you come from, we want you to know that we love you and so does Jesus. If you're thinking of attending ACC, we're currently holding one service at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings, in person and online. You can watch live or get directions or other information directly from our website, anacortischristian.church. That's A-N-A-C-O-R-T-E-S, Christian.church. So, whether you're sitting, driving, running, or hiking, thanks for tuning in. Let's dive into the Bible together.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas. If you could stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word, and I just ask the Lord that you would speak to us through our brother Mark. Lord, may your spirit guide us. Thank you, Lord, that you're faithful not just to begin a work in us, but you're going to see it through to the very end. Be with us here today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, and once again, Merry Christmas Eve. It's a rich morning and a rich time. Most of the richness just left the room and went downstairs, but we still have all of us up here, and so we'll try to make do, but grateful that you can be here and thankful for these moments. We're at the end of this first letter, and I believe we'll continue on into the second here soon, of 1 Thessalonians, but especially the last couple chapters, Mike has been up here, and there's this talk of the day of the Lord. Some of it mysterious, but all of it meant to be an incredible encouragement as we wait. As we wait, we anticipate, and he talks about how we should live as children of the day rather than of the night. And then, you know, this week, I've just been chewing over and over on this list, and I'm grateful that Russ just read it for us. At first, it kind of felt like, you know, Paul's moving and he's just about to shut the door of the U-Haul truck, and he just kind of tosses all this stuff in at the end, you know, like, don't forget this and this and this. And it just kind of, it felt a bit random and like, okay, how do I preach on this, Father? Or maybe it's like when your children go off to college or someplace and you just try to remember all the things that you should have poured into them all those years you forgot to. But like, don't forget to do this, you know, like brush your teeth and show up to class on time and don't forget to set your alarm. And I don't know, you know, but as I kind of went throughout the week, and in light of the fact that it's Christmas Eve, a thought occurred to me, and I'm going to try it out this morning, and I'm hoping and praying that it won't be a source of distraction to this text. I hope it can add some form and some function, because I was thinking, like, what if this is less of just a list, and what if this is more like a recipe? Are any of you bakers out there? I brought some visual aids. It's not Table Sunday, so I don't get the benefit of having the kids coming up and do stuff. But are there any bakers out there? I mean, what could be more like Christmas Eve than Christmas cookies? Anybody grow up making Christmas cookies? Some of you lived sad lives. I'm sorry. Actually, I didn't either, but Laurel's family did, so hey. No, but grandma's sugar cookies, Christmas cookies, you know, you see it all the time, but I want to kind of, you know, have this analogy, and again, there's danger in an analogy because it can kind of distract or the analogy ends, but we're gonna hang out here for a little bit because, you know, sometimes there's just these, and we use the word, sometimes there's like a masterpiece. Yeah, is there anything, like, if you think there's like, I want you to imagine a Christmas cookie, and what does it take to make a masterpiece cookie? You know, a masterpiece, something that's just amazing, excellent. We're going to talk about that word masterpiece a little bit as we examine this list at the end of 1 Thessalonians. And once again, I hope that it helps to provide a little structure without distracting. But when you're baking, and I am not a masterpiece cook, chef, baker, whatever, but, you know, I do know a little bit about, because normally you have, you have to have, what do you need to bake cookies, let's say? All I heard was butter, and we have butter up here this morning, so I heard lots of things. You need a recipe, right? You need all sorts, you need the ingredients, you need all sorts of things, all right? So we have a little bit of it here today. But as we think about grandma's sugar cookies, you have the dry ingredients that you got to mix everything together, and then you have the wet ingredients. Fortunately, I asked my daughter, you know, what cookies she likes, and we have like grandma's sugar cookies. It's written all in cursive, but it was funny when she read the recipe for me, and I was like, okay, I bet this is going to be some like really amazing recipe, and it was flour, sugar, and butter. And I'm like, okay, that keeps it simple. I like that. So we have our flour. And our sugar, we have our dry ingredients, which we're going to be getting into a little bit more. And then what could go wrong if the only wet ingredients you have is butter? I mean, that's fantastic, right? So that's what you need. You roll it, you bake it, you ice it, you eat it. That's the masterpiece sugar cookies. You can have the recipe. You can have the ingredients and everything you need. You can proudly put them out before you. You can even, like they do in all the Hallmark movies, you know, like throw flour at each other because it seems like that's what you're supposed to do when you're baking flour cookies. The problem is, you can have all of that stuff, but this is not the masterpiece, right? The masterpiece isn't just the recipe or the ingredients. It takes the active pursuit of the process guided by the direction of the master to procure the perfection promised by the recipe. All right, that's a lot of complicated words. You'll have to like go listen online later, and I don't have notes for you. I'll say it again. It takes the active pursuit of the process guided by the direction of the master to procure the perfection promised by the recipe. So what about God's masterpiece? What would that look like? Here's another one. This time I'll put it up there. It's a little complicated sentence. I just want you to think about this. God's masterpiece, here at the end of 1 Thessalonians, all the things that Mike has talked about, this day of the Lord, the salvation of Jesus Christ that we've already talked about, I just want you to think about this for a moment. God's masterpiece invites us to an active pursuit of that which we've already attained and warns us from passively wasting the riches of his grace. Feel free to jot that down. Kind of think about that this week. Hopefully if we have the screen. I don't know if we got it up there or not. I'll say it again. God's masterpiece invites us to an active pursuit of that which we've already attained and warns us from passively wasting the riches of his grace. All right, so we have our masterpiece recipe. We have this analogy, and again, there's danger in either oversimplifying something so incredible as the Word of God and what Paul's talking about here, or overcomplicating it. But I want to make one thing really clear here. The question of who is at work in God's masterpiece. And in order to do that, we have to skip to the end, to the doxology that Russ read here at the end in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, because I want to clear up any confusion and any dangers that you may go down. We have different backgrounds and different ways of, like, you know, the idea of, man, if there was just a recipe to follow and you can get exactly what God's done. People have tried to do that for many, many years. The Jews tried it, you know, to make all these oral traditions. Just follow this, and you'll get exactly what God wants. Many different, maybe where you grew up, you know, it was like, hey, here's, you just don't do this, you don't do that, and you're pretty much what God wants, right? What is God's masterpiece? I want to make, to clear up any confusion, skip to verse 23 at the end, where Paul says, now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Whose work is this? Whose masterpiece? Who's behind every part of it? Jesus. It's the Lord. And I'm sorry we don't have time to, you know, the very end of it, we had all that intriguing spot, brothers pray for us, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. There's probably more to be said there. We're not going into that, right? But this is just, he's just creating the space of, like, I want my body to be a place where people are known, people are accepted, and people are greeted and loved and cared for. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So that's the end of it. But the question is, who is at work here? It's the Lord. He will surely do it. What will he do? He will sanctify you completely. This invitation, this warning and invitation that Mike gave us last week, to live as children of the day, not of the night. Don't let another day go by. Don't ignore that invitation. But how do we prepare? How do we keep ourselves blameless and holy until he comes? I don't do a good job of doing that. But it's not up to us. I keep messing that up, but the God of peace himself will do it. He will cleanse and consecrate and keep us fully and completely to the end. How can we possibly do that? You don't have to, because the master chef in his faithfulness, he will do it. He is true and sure. He will keep you this way. You don't create a masterpiece without a master. The master is not you or I, it's the Lord. So if God, the master, is in the kitchen cooking up this masterpiece, is it okay for me to stay out of his way, sit on the couch, watch some football, and just let God cook? I mean, look, he who is faithful will do it. The God of peace will sanctify you completely. This is great news. I don't want to get in his way. Let God cook. Right? This is some of you Seahawks fans. You know, let Russ cook. That didn't work that well. This is different, right? The problem is we often mistake the true masterpiece for something else. I mean, isn't it the cookies? Be aware, be on the lookout for our preoccupation for counterfeit masterpieces. Tomorrow's Christmas. Hopefully that's not a surprise for anyone in here. Most of us have been busily preparing, shopping, clicking, maybe even stressing over, if we're not careful, what could be a counterfeit masterpiece. The perfect gifts, the perfect decorations, table settings, creating the best possible atmosphere for everyone to enjoy holiday cheer. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, but be careful not to let a counterfeit masterpiece rob you from the work that God truly wants to do in you and in your family today and this Christmas. There's more to this recipe. Not only is God the one at work, but God invites us to join him and actively engage in his masterpiece. Gather and prepare the right ingredients, expose it to his fire, and to protect it from the contamination of evil. So God doesn't say, hey, I'm going to work on this. You're going to just bring you're just going to mess up the process. You stay over there, let me do the work. Just show up to church, you know, let somebody else do the work. That's not how this masterpiece works. Skipping back to verse 12, we ask you, brothers, the NIV says brothers and sisters, and that's exactly what it's trying to say. It's all of you, we ask you to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Paul has already been confronting this cultural temptation towards idleness in their culture, right? The people up here don't do the work. It's the lowly that do that. And Paul has been saying, no, not in the kingdom of God. That's not at all how this works. This is a major hindrance to what God truly wants to do. He doesn't just do it. He invites us, his people, to get in and to work, to get our hands dirty. The true leaders aren't the ones just with the titles or the ones that sit up here. Maybe even the true leaders aren't just the ones with the job descriptions or the paychecks. The true leaders that Paul tells them to revere, to look up to, are they that are actively putting their gifts to work for the Lord and his people. And I was reading this week, and I was thinking, you know what? Here in our culture, here in America, in our church, do I allow myself to be in positions of submission to spiritual authorities? And do you? I mean, he's telling them, look at these people, don't forget them, respect them, hold them highly. And I just realize here in America and maybe other countries as well, it's really easy to go to church your whole life and to never do that. Do I allow myself to be in a position where leaders, people ahead of me, can call me out on my stuff? Now, I realize there's dangers here, and there's been dangers, and maybe you've experienced this, maybe in your marriage or in a church setting or in your family or different places. There's spiritual abuse, there's domineering, there's manipulation and hypocrisy that has happened. And the Bible is very clear, any leader, any person that God has put into a position of authority of some way, they're going to be held to a higher standard. So there's a message completely there for him. You can go to Hebrews 13, 17 or James 3, 1 to see the enormity of what that looks like. But there's also a danger in ignoring the value of allowing godly leadership to have a say in our life. What does that look like for you? Again, it's too easy to change churches, to be offended by somebody that would try to speak into my life. The beginning part of this recipe, God is saying there is value in spiritual leadership. What does that look like in your life? Are you in a position, in a place? Are you allowing yourself to be under that? Paul says, don't just subject yourself to these people, but see and appreciate them in love. And I think, it's not spoken, but I believe right under the surface of this, you may even be surprised to find out that God is actually building and preparing you to be one of his leaders now and in the future. So what does that look like? Where are the spaces that God has placed me that need his life-giving transformation? The lifeless spaces that we as a church have identified as our vision. That's what we want to be, a place that brings life to the lifeless spaces. Where are the places in your own life that God has placed you where there's lifelessness and he's called you? I want you to get your hands dirty. Don't just rely on somebody else. So God has invited us to the kitchen. And then you have to gather the right ingredients if you're gonna make a masterpiece, right? You have to create something. You have to get your dry ingredients, right? And we need to spend a little bit of time. We don't have time to just go through and spend a lot of time on each one. It's a big list, but I had to just divide it. Okay, first, you get your dry ingredients, right? You have, here in the case of our sugar cookies, you have your flour and your sugar, and you have to put them in a bowl, mix them all up together. Well, what do we have here? I'm gonna kind of, the first part of the list, these dry ingredients, I just kind of arbitrarily said, these are our dry ingredients because they're things that involve other people. He starts out in verse 13, be at peace among yourselves. Peace is one of those words we love to throw around. You know, people throw it around in all different contexts. But I want you to think about it. Where is there a lack of peace in your life? Our world has long sought peace, right? We talk about it. We hang out on street corners and we call for it in other places. But the problem is, I can't directly affect peace in Ukraine or in Israel or in the southern border at this moment. But I have been called to affect peace right here around me. I can only allow the peace of Christ to rule in my relationships, attitudes, and actions, and trust the decisions of others to our Heavenly Father. Be at peace. And the peace is not some passive thing that just happens if you do nothing. The peace, the God of peace, all throughout the Bible, and we'll see it here at the end, peace is active. The other dry ingredients after peace that we have to add, verse 14, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. It says, admonish the idle, warn those who are unruly and out of rank, like a lazy soldier. That's kind of the literal words that are happening there for the word idle. It's not just lazy. It's those that are out of order, those that are not responding to what they where they should be. They're like a soldier who's been called to something higher, yet he's lazily just going through life out of rank. Have you ever been admonished? As children, we get admonished all the time. We love to admonish our children, right? And there's nothing bad about that directly, but you know, there's a point where you hit, we're like, okay, I'm not a child anymore. Nobody can admonish me anymore. Is anybody there? I don't know about you, but sometimes when somebody needs to like caution or warn me, there's this stubborn part of me that says like, well, if you hadn't have said it, maybe I would have done it. But now that you did say it, anybody else got that feeling, right? I get kind of mad. Well, who are you to point out something that I did wrong? And I would love for this to be natural and easy, but I heard someone say, like, you know, the great thing about when you get corrected is that means you don't have to be wrong anymore. But that's not that natural for me. Warn those, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted. And I have this picture, and maybe, you know, I have this, if anybody played video games, you know, the faint-hearted, I picture this like, you know, you start off the game and you have 10 hearts. You're filled with hearts, but then the more and more time goes by, you know, you're like down, time goes by, your heart takes these hits. And you get down to this part where you only have one left and you're not sure if you can go on. You know, and maybe somebody came into the room this morning, it's Christmas time, there's natural highs and there's natural lows. Sometimes the older I get, you know, it seems like there's more lows than highs at times like that. And I don't know where you are, but part of the dry ingredients here, the recipe is be at peace with one another, admonish the idle, but come alongside and encourage the faint-hearted. The weak. Weakness. Once again, I hate having my weaknesses exposed, but Paul's painting this picture of a place that if it actually existed, would be incredible. Rather than having to hide your weakness. I mean, in high school, like having a weakness was like having a big kick me sign put on your back. Did you ever remember that? Like maybe that was like a 90s thing. I don't know if it was in a movie or something. Somebody like they'd try to sneak a kick me sticker, you know, a sign on the back so you didn't know it and you're wondering, why is everybody kicking me, right? That's what weakness is like. You can't expose your weaknesses, right? Because then other people will exploit them. I mean, the Roman culture was all about that. You know, it was all about you have to show off your strengths and hide your weaknesses. But in this masterpiece recipe that God is building and that Paul is calling for right here, he says, help those who are weak. And then there's this patience piece. Be patient with them all. Again, patience does not come naturally. You know, especially when it's you. But for me, I think I really deserve your patience, right? I have that feeling. I'll be driving all the time. And somebody's, you know, when you're like trying to pull out and somebody's here and they're inconveniencing me. And I kind of like look at them. Does anybody else do that when you're driving and you just want to like make eye contact with that person and letting them know like, you are in my way. You know, I just want to let you know that And I can just feel this. But whenever I'm in that moment, you know, whenever I've pulled into an intersection and somebody stops in front of me and people are back here, I'm just like, you know what, guys, just be patient with me, right? The masterpiece that God is building calls for what an incredible picture, a place. He says, be patient with them all. The reason he knows that is because we're there. We need patience. And then at the verse 15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. I think he was talking about family reunions. That does not need a lot of explanation, but it needs a lot of practice. Have you ever noticed that it's way easier to talk about Bible things than it is to put them into practice? Because the moment you disrespect me, then it's on, right? The moment that you do something that I even perceive as rude. He says, no, see to it that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. What real or imagined evil has been done in your life that you've been carrying around, or maybe you're dreading walking back into another family reunion because of, or whatever that looks like, but that you're tired of carrying? It's getting in the way. And I know this isn't answering what do you do with it, but right now Paul is just saying, here's this masterpiece, this place that God is forming and filling, and he wants it to be defined by these things, these dry ingredients. The recipe says, put them in the bowl and mix them together. And what happens if you leave an ingredient out? Has anybody ever done that? Have you ever baked something that you were really excited about, and then you realize at the end, wait a second. You know, I don't remember what it was. I know we had one of my children baked something. I was going to ask Laurel this morning what it was. I don't know. So it's one of those like really undefined stories. But, well, baked some bread and I think substituted salt for flour. Yeah, and that doesn't work, right? What happens when I leave an ingredient out? It doesn't taste the same. Which one of these do you tend to leave out? We mix them all together, and then you have your wet ingredients is what I'm calling. We get to this second part of the list. The first part of the list was these ways that we are to interact together, you know, to help the weak, to encourage the faint-hearted, to be patient with them all, to not repay anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another. But if you just had the recipe, if I just had the flour and the sugar, you know, mix it all together, dumped into the oven, this something would be missing. We have to add what I'm calling today, the wet ingredients. You can read about it in verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Remember, who is the master? Who is the one at work here? It's God. We've made that very clearly. It's him. It's his. He will do these things. And yet he's inviting us to get into the kitchen and to join him. This is not easy. It doesn't just happen. It takes a level of discipline to learn to rejoice, to pray in and praise in all things and at all times. But the recipe won't turn out without them. There's dangers here. Maybe you've been around, maybe your mom or somebody was like, you know, something bad happens in your life. Well, you have to rejoice. You know, like, I lost my job. Yay! You know, that's not what's going on here. That's something different. It means that you have a heavenly Father who wants you to constantly come to him. I mean, think about that for a moment. He desires a continual conversation with you. He wants you to constantly come to him, rejoicing that he is bigger than your situation. He desires to have this running dialogue with you, and he wants you to learn to trust his hand no matter your circumstances. So you take these dry ingredients and these wet ingredients, and you put them all together, and you have, you know, how you treat other people, and then this rejoicing always, this praying without ceasing and giving thanks in all circumstances. He invites us to do this over and over, and then you bake, you have to expose them to the fire, right? You have to put them in the oven. Otherwise, nothing happens. Verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. Quench is don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. You can't bake a masterpiece without subjecting it to heat. In the same way, you need the fire of His Spirit and the truth of His authority to bake the mixture of your life, the wet and the dry ingredients, and transform it into His masterpiece. Don't extinguish the flame of His Spirit or ignore and despise the authoritative truth of His words. Most often, I believe that truth comes through His words. Sometimes He uses the voice of others, other godly people in your life, to speak hard truth into your life. He says, don't just believe it all. Don't believe every person that comes up and says, hey, God told me that you need to go be a missionary. Maybe God did. He says, test it, examine it carefully, scrutinize it to see if it's genuine and in keeping with His word. And if it is, what does He say to do to it? He says, hold fast to it. Hold fast to what is good. I picture a football player, right, running with a football. And what is happening is huge, strong football players are trying to rip that ball out of his arms and get it to drop and fumble the football. He says, hold fast to that which is good. You can have everything. You can be in the kitchen of the Lord. You can have all the recipe, all of the right ingredients perfectly mixed together. But if you don't hold fast to the truth of His word, if you don't make it your single focused mission, you will be in danger of passively wasting the riches of His incredible grace and mercy in your life. So we mix it all up. We take the dry ingredients, the wet ingredients, we stick them in the oven. And then when we pull it out of the oven, you have to protect it from the contamination of evil. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. You don't take a masterpiece out of the oven and take it and then allow bugs and rodents and germs to get all over it, right? Hopefully not, because tell me beforehand, if I'm coming over to your house, I'll eat before I come. You don't sneeze on it. You don't lick it unless you have siblings and you don't want them to eat it. You cover it and protect it. He says, abstain, hold back, keep off every form of evil. And evil comes in all shapes and sizes, doesn't it? We don't always recognize it right away. Sometimes it grows slowly over time. And we think, you know, that's not that bad. Here's the kicker. See, He has provided everything we need for this masterpiece. Through Christ, we are invited into His kitchen. He's provided the ingredients. He's provided everything we need in the recipe, and His Spirit and authority is there to guide us all through the way. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. But there's so many dangers in applying this. There's the danger of just like having the ingredients sitting there. And like we already said, if you just let the ingredients sit there, they don't form the masterpiece. Sometimes you get the recipe wrong. Some days you don't even step foot into the Lord's kitchen. Now, some of you guys out there are like, you know, I haven't ever cooked. I don't really relate. Okay, if you have to take it, the craftsmanship, the work of art, God has invited you into His shop. Our world today, I believe, has less and less craftsmanship in it. Why is that? Because it's really easy to just buy it online, have it shipped to your house, and you never have to leave your couch. Who needs craftsmanship when you can get something maybe a little short of it shipped to your house and you don't ever have to leave your house? There's a danger in approaching God's masterpiece this same way. You can come here. sit on your chair, or you can even stay at home. We got these great cameras and everything like this. It makes it really easy. From the convenience of your own home, you can get God's masterpiece for only $19.99. There's a danger in approaching God's masterpiece the same way. You can pay for it. You can pay other people to sit up in your life and to do this masterpiece thing for you so that you don't have to. What is God's masterpiece? What is it? The masterpiece is not the cookie or the finished product. The masterpiece is the people we become as we actively pursue the process with the Master, as we actively pursue what He's already given us in Jesus Christ. That's the mystery and the beauty of the gospel. You know, and I've even heard Laurel say, you know, Grandma's cookies were great, but it really wasn't the cookies that were the masterpiece. It was the memories, it was the smells, it was the family, it was the process. God's masterpiece is not some finished product. God is inviting you. The masterpiece is the process of the gospel working itself out in your life. God does not passively stand by. Jesus Christ actively engages our lost world in darkness. The angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth on whom His favor rests." And Jesus came down to actively pursue peace so He could create an ongoing living masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And we read again that doxology, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." And if you step back and look at what Paul has described, this masterpiece, in this masterpiece that God is preparing, He is creating a place of incredible unity, safety, peace, and respect. A place where the leaders are actively serving, refining, and protecting those they lead. And those they lead are holding them in loving respect. A place where truth can be shared, yet encouragement and help is constantly offered. A place filled with inexhaustible patience, forgiveness, and goodness, and protected from every form of evil. This isn't found at Disneyland or at Costco. Or on Amazon, it is the kingdom of God. It's His will for you, your family, and His church. I pray that you would respond to His invitation to join Him in His kitchen. As God invites us to an active pursuit of that which we've already attained and warns us from passively wasting the riches of His grace. Will you join Him this Christmas? Will you join Him in the kitchen, or will you stay on the couch? Or maybe you got involved and you were baking, but you left out some ingredients. The incredible part about the workmanship of Christ, this incredible masterpiece, is that's the point. Jesus Christ died on the cross. So start over. Step back into the kitchen and start baking with the Master. Step back into the workshop and let the Master start to craft, not whatever you're working on. He's crafting and working and chiseling and changing and refining and shaping you. But did you give up? Did you see your blemishes? Did you see the darkness that you brought? And did you say, "Now God doesn't have space in His workshop or His kitchen for me"? God is endeavoring to invite you to join Him in this masterpiece. That is the kingdom of God. Will you pray with me, please? Father, this morning as we describe and as we read this list of these different things that you're calling and asking us to put in place in our life, Father, we pray that we could step back into the process, whether it's the first time or the 100th time, that we could join you in creating this incredible gospel-centered kingdom of God masterpiece that you are endeavoring to create in our lives. Lord, it's Christmas. We're excited. Our children are excited. We want to give them so many things, but please keep us from doing anything that would distract from what you desire to do in our life. Lord, show us what it looks like to not pay back evil for evil. Show us what it looks like, Lord, to pursue peace, to help. Lord, show us what it looks like. The scariest one is, I don't know what it looks like to admonish others, but prepare my heart to hear the admonishment that I need to hear. Protect us, Father, from thinking too highly of ourselves and missing the incredible riches of your grace and mercy. We love you. It's in Jesus' amazing name I pray. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you've accepted Christ or have questions about having a relationship with Jesus, we would love to hear from you. Call us at 360-293-3729 or visit our website anytime. Have a great week, and remember, you are loved by us and by Jesus.